If it's happening today, we're talking about it now. Join us, 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
Welcome back to the show. The moral of the story today is don't press that send button. Whatever it is you think that you have to say, just, you know, say it out loud. There's almost no reason ever why anybody else needs to hear your opinion. I hate to say it, but it's true. We see it again and again. Rejoining us now is Fred Giertini. And if you're a watcher of News 12, you've seen his friendly face as the lead supporter. He thought that Tim Scott, the South Carolinian black senator, was an Uncle Tom after not, in Fred's opinion, properly denigrating the Proud Boys' recent presidential debate. And he was summarily dismissed in a five-minute Zoom. Joining us now is Wayne Winston, whom we speak about with respect to topics of race. This one, a section of race, culture, journalism, politics. We're going to go to some of your calls. We'll circle back around to have everybody be able to at least be able to participate in this discussion at 203-333-92. Thomas from Bridgeport. Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the show today. Good morning.
How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
I'm calling because of that particular phrase, Uncle Tom. When that phrase was used by Fred, if you look at from what I have learned and have been taught as a child, Uncle Tom he really was an actual slave, but he did work to help free other slaves. So that the term, in my opinion, Uncle Tom has been turned around to mean something bad or negative. When we actually look at what he did as a human being, a live human being himself, his role that he played was partially to help free at least minimum of three, I believe, other slaves or slave families. So the negativity to that Uncle Tom was turned around when Miss Stowe wrote the book, Uncle Tom's Cabin. And that way, that role was flipped into someone who betrayed his people. And that's not what I was taught. That's not how I grew up learning and understanding the phrase Uncle Tom. They were absolutely.
So Harriet Beecher Stowe, I thought that Uncle Tom's Cabin was fictional. You're saying that Stowe has Connecticut roots, big time. Harriet Beecher Stowe, that when she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, basing it on real life historical figure.
It was a real live historical figure. All right, she just switched the roles to have him as someone who worked for a real cruel, harsh slave master and would tell on his people. They were actually, technically speaking, two characters. One was Uncle Tom, and I hate to say this. The other was Sambo. And Sambo was actually the actual culprit, whereas Uncle Tom was the one who actually tried to help free additional slave people.
Interesting. Thank you, Thomas. I didn't know that. Thank you so much for that. I love some historical relevance. Harriet Beecher Stowe lived in Connecticut, I believe. Big-time Connecticut roots. Well, we are joined now by Wayne Winston and Fred Giertini. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. 203-333-9422. Have to give a shout out personally before we get to politics. Fred, I understand that you're friends with my son. I'm just
yes,
finding
I absolutely
this out
am.
Right now. And you're, I told John that you were on the air, and he says, I love Fred. He didn't know that you were fired. And I guess you guys delivered pizza together years ago when you were both kids for Westport Pizza.
We sure did, and I love John. It's a mutual admiration society. John and I had a lot of laughs back in those days, and I'm so happy that he's doing so well. He's an incredibly bright guy. Lisa, you should be very proud.
He's my Michigana. He's my wonderful, bright Michigana kid, and I love him to pieces. And yes, he's doing very well in the world. But you know, John is a force of nature, Fred. I don't have to tell you. He's a force of nature.
It's an understatement.
Am I right? He's a force of nature.
No, absolutely.
And, Anyway, I just didn't know that. He's a character, of course. Everyone in my family is a character. I grew up in a walking sitcom with my own parents, and then I had kids and my sister. The rest of us were all crazy. We're all right out of Seinfeld in our own crazy ways. Anyway, but I'm just happy to know that. And it's nice that you guys delivered. So you knew Mel and Joe, the Mioli brothers, and you all delivered pizza together, huh?
No, absolutely. We're like family to me.
Yeah. Yeah, John feels that way, too. We love them. All right. So, but now we're getting back to real life a little bit. Wayne Winston, hello and welcome to the show today. Good morning.
Well, you have a whole lot packed in there. You have about 12 different outstanding subjects, Fred.
I know.
Okay, like, how do I summarize, Well, let me first say that the gentleman, hello to the listeners, and thanks for being here. Talking about race is always difficult. Always. And this is probably most uncomfortable 30 minutes or 20 minutes on radio for a lot of people. But it's important that we listen to each other. The gentleman who called in earlier is absolutely right. You know, Uncle Tom just got to be used so much. It was just contextually wrong. It was Sambo who always act like the fool and always did the crazy stuff. So when the story was written, people just connected to the wrong perspective of it. So that's why you hear Uncle Tom so much in the vernacular, when really it's being a Sambo is what you don't want to be. So I thank that gentleman for calling in on that correction. So if those of you out there that heard that, so you learned something today, get it right. A lot of black people don't know that. So when it comes to you, Fred, it's unfortunate you were fired. You know, you have a slippery slope and a tightrope as a journalist, because what people think is news is not really news. They go, fake news. It's like, yeah, there really is fake news. Talking heads are fake news, which are a lot of these TV shows have. You know, so if you listen to Fox and Tucker Carlson and so on, they don't have to be accurate. They don't have to be balanced. They are there to promote a certain perspective. So that's why when people watch them, they'll take what they say as the truth and as a fact. Journalism is under attack by it being called fake news. If you can discredit MSNBC, CNN, this whole nonsense from the beginning of when this president came, it's an excellent strategy. Because then when you're talking to entities that have credibility for years, and you can get them to be questioned by the American people, that's scary. That's going down the end, down that street of dictatorship, propaganda, and control. And it's been very successful. So for a person like yourself, who at least gets it, as a black man, I wasn't offended. I said, oh, man, he's probably going to be in trouble when he said that.
Yeah.
It shows at least you got the context of it. It tells me something about you, Fred, that you are in touch with people in your community who understand that. And you had no choice but to voice it. But because you are a journalist, and it has to be fair and balanced, like the CNNs and so on, and even the WICC.
Hold on. I can't let you – I have to just say this. Fox, for sure, has a point of view in its evening shows, but has become a parody of what it used to be. You can't tell me that Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo every single day don't have a point of view. They do not report the news any longer. They use their platform as an ability to shape the news stories to fit their opinion as well. It's under the auspices of Jeff Zucker. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's doing it for ratings, and it has bled the ratings away from CNN and completely, in my view, changed the brand from what it was originally under Ted Turner with Bernard Shaw and all these original great journalists. I don't think the evening newscasts are journalists. Maybe Anderson Cooper is, maybe he isn't, but not the other talking heads. No way. They're just like the Fox people. They've got an agenda, and they bend the news to shape their agenda. And MSNBC makes no secret of the fact that they do it either. I mean, they just, you know, they have intelligent people doing it, in my view. I think Lawrence O'Donnell is intelligent, and so is Rachel Maddow. They're intelligent, but they bend the news to fit their agenda, too. They have something they want to deliver to say to the American people. That's my opinion. So if you're, I think you have to throw in the other two, too. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let's be, that's like saying Republicans and Democrats, libertarians, there's all different type of denominations of party. They have their own beliefs. When they appoint Supreme Court justices, same thing is going to reflect their opinion. But historically, even now, media's had to make an adjustment because people don't want to just sit down and listen to hard news. You got to put those things in. That's why you see people's dogs on television during the COVID, you know, things that make you feel good, because it's a difficult time, even before that. So social media and all that, we can't go back, because that's where we are. So we take someone like Fred, who for a moment said, man, this is racism. Everyone in America should be offended by racism. Unfortunately, he spoke it into the world out there, and he's seen as a journalist. Now, if he just did this on his own social media and he wasn't connected to a television and doing sports, even he doesn't even do the news. It's like they held him to the journalist standard. And when you hold people to the journalist standard, it becomes something that's different. And that's why I'm saying CNN and these guys at least do that, you know, to make sure, because you can get the hard news guys, the ABC Tonight, you know, the all those follow-ups on the documentaries, these real things. So I think a suspension would have been okay, because I hate that we lost a guy like you just as a person, as well as what we need right now. Because I know outside the circle that you'll be out there fighting to make the world a better place. This election is absolutely about race. We haven't had so many, verified white supremacists in office since the last 30 or 40 years. And this is by their own admission before they even got in there. Stephen Miller,
okay.
Steve Bannon.
All right, Wayne, I want to give Fred a chance to respond. I know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got to give Fred a chance to respond. Fred Giertini is on from News 12. And, you know, in my opinion, Fred, you tell me. But News 12 is not trying to be CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. They really are not. They are trying to be seen as delivering local news every single day without any opinion at all. And I think that they're trying to have that brand. I really do. And it's not easy to do, but I think they do a good job in trying. I do.
And I think that's what makes them so popular. You're absolutely right. And they are local news. They are, you know, the old slogan of as local as local news gets. You know, they lived on that for years. They've changed it to local matters. And you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, as Wayne was saying, you know, everything is opinion driven now, because that's where the money is. That's what television executives look at. They know that just doing it down the middle doesn't generate revenue, and it's the almighty dollar, and that's what these networks want. They want to make money, and so having an opinion is going to get ratings. And I think you brought up that point, Lisa. You're absolutely right.
On this show, for what it's worth, on this show, obviously, I always say this is my opinion, you know, but I try not to do it. I try not to have an opinion too often, frankly. You know, I can't help myself with some things, but I'm trying on the Lisa Wexler Show at any event to exhibit everybody's point of view and let people think for themselves. I really believe that that's what it's about. I think our conversation on our show every day is about, let me at least tell you what I think to be factually true. Once in a while, I'll give you a comment on what I believe to be factually true. But now I want to hear your comment, too. But I think that the danger in pressing the send button is really, really the cautionary tale here. It just really is. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. We've got Fred Giertini and Wayne Winston on. This is an opportunity, if you want to pitch in with your comment or question, 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show today. We'll be right back.
Talking about it today so you can talk about it tomorrow. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
You know, in this world in which we live in, welcome back to the show. Fred Giertini and Wayne Winston are on with us today at 203-333-9422. In this world in which we live in, this idea of putting down fake news and putting down the New York Times because they have an admittedly editorial liberal slant, it's been very effective in having people distrust the news. But it's really not to our benefit, because the truth is we need journalism. We need journalists. We need truth tellers. We need investigative reporters. We need people to cut under and around and over the ugliness and corruption that assails people when they get into power, their political party is. And if we keep putting down these institutions that have tried their best, sometimes failed, but often tried their best, to be communicators of news, we're all going to lose. That said, I think it is incumbent in this world of crazy social media that if you represent an organization that is trying to deliver objective journalism, that you continue to insist to the public that the people behind the news are not carrying their agenda with them, their broadcasts. And unfortunately, when someone like Fred Giertini tweets a tweet that clearly has an opinion behind it with respect to Tim Scott, it colors the rest of what the organization is trying to do. You may be right, Fred. The right solution maybe shouldn't have been so draconian as firing you. Maybe they should have suspended you for the remainder of the campaign, given you a wrist slap or whatever they could do. I feel sorry that you don't have your job right now, because the impulse to press the send button is something that all of us can sympathize with. All of us.
Yeah, Lisa, thank you for saying that. You know, I think what motivated me on that, you know, my momentary anger, and I just feel, and obviously Wayne will back me up on this, our country has a very dark history in terms of race relations. I mean, in terms of all the modern developed countries, our history is really dark with race relations. And it's frustrating that here we are in 2020 and we haven't seemed to improve. It's like it's still the 1960s or before that, the 50s, however you want to describe it. It's so frustrating that we just seem to be regressing and not moving forward. You know, Doc Rivers, the basketball coach, I'll get my sports, you know, I'm a sports announcer at my core here. Doc Sure. Rivers, you know, a month ago said, as when he was coaching the Clippers, that, you know, how can you expect us to love our country when it doesn't love us back? And I totally understand where he's coming from. Wayne, I'm sure you agree with me. And until we get this fixed, until we get this race problem fixed, we're in big trouble as a nation.
I agree so much with you, Fred. And Doc Rivers, you know, there's athletes all across this country, tennis, basketball, and people of color in particular, saying how much more we have to take. There's an atmosphere of this country that's extremely, extremely hostile. Racism is subjective. I mean, you don't have to. The greater white community, black people are about 12% of this country. The greater white community does not have to do anything about racism because it doesn't affect them at all, so to speak. It's more of a moral, spiritual, cultural, religious belief that makes you say, hey, I'm going to treat this person as someone who's equal to me. I'm going to try to look at a little bit of that history and realize, yeah, we just could have some of these issues that are making it unjust for black people. If so many are being killed by police, let's see why. It's so important that we make sure that we do what we need to do. So someone like Fred, I hope things work out. I think you have a second life somewhere on the internet because you're an amazing guy. As a black man, I can tell you that I wasn't offended at all. And as a regular contributor to News 12, I know that they always present both sides of the story, no matter what it is. And that's to their credit. And to Lisa, you know, credit to you, because you don't have to do this 30 minutes that has to do with anything in race. So you're fighting to make this a better place just by people listening. So even if you don't agree with me, and there's time that Lisa don't, there's perspectives we have. And if we hear each other, then we can be a better country. And it doesn't have to be 1960 and 2020 going into 21. There's a tone in the country that creates this and has supported it for the last 4 years. So people just get out and vote and make that difference. So thank you very much. And Fred, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you very much, Wayne Winston. Thank you, Fred Giertini. We wish you good luck. And let us know where you land, Fred, okay? Let us know where you land. And I'll send my regards from Jonathan. He sends his love to you.
Thank you, Lisa. You send that right back to John for me.
I will. Thank you so much. Well, for my part, we're wrapping it up at noon here, but for my part, I'm really happy to have this conversation every week. One of the things that I see is people talking past each other instead of talking with each other. And this every week, because as Wayne said, I'm not always going to agree with him. Sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. It's okay. It's okay. That's the point. It's okay.
exactly.
But having the conversation, brings you to a different level. And frankly, a friendship, right? Friendship and understanding. I think we need more of that. We need more of that. We definitely do. So thanks, Wayne. Thanks for being on today. Listen, I want to let you know at 5 o'clock, I am going to be moderating a panel on breast cancer health. This being October Breast Cancer Month. This is sponsored by Northern Westchester Hospital, but free to all. And so I encourage you to go on my Facebook page. The link is there. You can just click in public and tune in at 5 p.m. and have a lot of questions answered, substantive, important questions by people that are breast cancer surgeons, medical oncologists, nutritionists, people that are thinking about how we can stay healthy and prevent disease. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us today.